Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this evening to the Gospel of John is where we're going to start off with. The Gospel of John, we're going to start in chapter number 12. We are going to go from a few different passages, establish a principle, establish the introduction at least, and then end up in John once again. John chapter number 12, this past Sunday night, we spent a lot of time talking about the importance of having a blessed Christmas, looked at different Bible characters that were blessed because of the fact that they took time to spend time with Jesus at Christmas time. And then we also looked at the idea of the word blessed and how they correlate the two. Hopefully you enjoyed that. Hopefully you spent some time looking over some of the handout that we gave you to kind of connect the dots there. Truly being blessed and the idea that happy this Christmas has keys to worshiping the Lord and celebrating the Lord. Tonight, we're going to look at some different things. We're going to lay down a principle, similar message, but it's on the other side, the people who miss Jesus. So if you have the thought here, the title of tonight's message is, I didn't give it to the sound booth, I don't think, it says, we would see Jesus this Christmas. We would see Jesus. In John chapter number 12, it's right after John chapter number 11. I know that's a surprise to everyone, but John chapter number 11, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Times are getting closer and closer to the crucifixion. His popularity has become just huge because of who he is. He taught and the miracles he's done together with the feast that were going on. And they ride into Jerusalem in the triumphal ride. And look what it says in verse 17. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause, the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. So as I said, his popularity is growing and growing, even to the point that the Pharisees become even more concerned. Verse 19, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world has gone after him. They're thinking, the whole world's gone after him. We're going to have to do something to stop this. But in verse number 20, it says, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was at Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. So with all the different things that were happening, and all the different feasts, and all the different things that were happening in the world at that time, they had heard about Jesus, and they said, we want to see him. So the thought of this tonight is, despite all the different things that happen in the world today around Christmas time, that we would seek to see Jesus. And that's what he's there, and that's what we should want. We want people to see Jesus in us. We want to see Jesus in our lives. We want to see Jesus in our churches. We want to see Jesus working in our families. We want to see Jesus. And the Bible talked in Matthew chapter number 5, one of those Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that's the key there, is being pure at heart. So tonight, we're going to take you on a little bit of a journey, and we're going to talk a little bit about those who didn't miss Jesus during Christmas, but the people who did. And then we're going to come back to John chapter number 10, and we're going to look at that religious leader group. During the feast of the festival, the feast of the festival, or exactly whatever that is, in John chapter number 10, brother, it's what Brother Potter was talking a few weeks ago about Hanukkah there, that what Jesus the feast of dedication, there you go, feast of dedication, that there was a group there that challenged Jesus, and they said, are you really truly who Jesus is? And he responds to them. And so it's kind of an interesting response. We kind of tie it back together tonight. Don't miss Jesus this Christmas. Sirs, that we would see Jesus this Christmas. And that's what I'm praying, that we would turn around and say, hey, I don't want to miss Christ this Christmas. I want to see Jesus work in my heart and Jesus work in my life. I'm not talking about some image somewhere that someone finds on this thing that cuts exactly look like. No, I'm talking about seeing Jesus work in my life, seeing Jesus work in our church, seeing Jesus just make himself real to us and feel his presence and see him just speak to our hearts. So let's jump in with a word of prayer first, and then let's think about this thought. We would see Jesus this Christmas. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us today. Lord, help us that we would see Jesus. Lord, I pray that every time when we preach that, Lord, that Jesus be high and Jesus be lifted up, that people would be impressed with Jesus. Jesus, what a beautiful name. And Lord, what it stands for, what it represents, or what it means, what it should mean to us. And during this very, very busy time, all these things, all the excitement going around Jesus, there's a group that came to the one of the disciples and said, we want to see him, or that we would seek after him, that we would desire to see him. There's a lot of things going on in our lives right now, a lot of things getting tied up, a lot of things getting ready for next week. But Lord, that we would not miss him, that we would have desire to see him. Lord, help us to see that. Help us not to be like the religious leaders that missed it. He was right there. He performed a miracle. He taught lesson after lesson, and they still didn't know who he was. Lord, help us not to be like that. Help us instead to see Jesus. Lord, speak to our hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just as a quick review, different people who did not miss Jesus for this past Sunday night, we talked about the Simeon and Anna. Where were they at? They were in the temple. They were serving. They were doing what was right. They didn't miss him. If they weren't living for the Lord, if they weren't doing the things that they were supposed to do, if Simeon wasn't being followed, wasn't being led by the Lord, they would have missed him. If Anna wasn't there serving the Lord with sacrifices and fastings, they would have missed him. Shepherds, they were given the announcement by the angels. What did they do? They went and they sought after him. They had to find him. They didn't miss him because they were seeking after him. The wise men made themselves available, and in this long trip and following the star, that what did they do? They didn't miss Jesus. But there were some different Bible characters, and we've looked at these before, and we will look at them again, but we're only going to hit them very quickly. It's the people who missed Jesus in the Bible story. I remember one old preacher said, the people you don't find at the manger scene, and they could have been, the people you don't find in the manger scene. I thought that I think about the ignorant ones. Now, this idea of ignorant means that they're uninformed. Caesar was one of those. Caesar was being used by God to bring Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, and is just that's how powerful God is. He works everything together. He's sovereign. And he says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And he missed Jesus that day. If he would have known, if the wise men would have came to him like they came to Herod, would he have gone? Probably not. He probably would have taxed them double for that. You know, so well, if they got Jesus coming, let's tax him extra. But they were ignorant. There are a lot of people that are ignorant this year at Christmas time. As I said before, there are people who do not even know that Christmas is the birth of Jesus, and it's becoming more and more evident, more and more that is just everything else is replacing it. We don't want that to happen. We should not let that happen, but the ignorant will miss Jesus. The second people are the indifferent ones. The indifferent ones will miss Jesus also. Luke 2:7, I think about the innkeeper, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The indifferent. There was a need there. Mary and Joseph came to him. They had a problem, and he was indifferent. He had something else that was interested in. He knew that there was a baby there. I don't know. If I was Joseph and I was trying to get a room, I would maybe even say, look, this is a special child. This is not just any child. Innkeeper didn't have anything to do with it. And there are people out there that are not connected with Christ and do not maybe know everything about the Bible and do not know everything about Christmas, but they're indifferent. Hey, you say Merry Christmas if you want. I'm going to say Happy Holidays. And they're indifferent. You know what they're going to do? They're going to miss him. They're going to miss Jesus. If you don't seek after him, if it's, hey, I can take it or leave it type thing, I can come to church or not come to church, I can pray and read my Bible and consider the Christmas story, I'm indifferent towards those things. You know what? You're going to miss him. And then we think about the wicked people that are going to miss it. I think about Herod and the story of Herod, you know, how the wise men came unto him, and they talked about the birth of Jesus. And in the birth of Jesus, they talked to him, and he says, hey, and he went and got he gathered up all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, and he demanded where Jesus should be born, and he brought them together. And he says to the wise men, you go find them, and then I'll come get me and let me know. I'll come worship. The wicked people are going to miss Christ this Christmas also. They are. It's just not going to happen. They're not going to worship. They're going to have their own celebration, but they're not celebrating Christ. That we would see Christ. This is what we don't want to be ignorant. We're not ignorant. We know that the people here in our church know what Christ is about and what Christmas should be all about. And some of us become indifferent towards it. Oh, should we be so hard-nosed about it? Should it be this? I think you can have a good time. You can celebrate. You can enjoy. But don't miss him. Don't that we would see him, that we would get on our knees and say, I want Christ seen in my life, and I want to see Christ work. Then there is a certain group here, which was the self-righteous or the religious leaders. And I always thought this was interesting. In Matthew 2:4, Herod speaking to them, it says, and he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together and demanded them where Christ should be born. So there was a group there that are the chief priests, the scribes, the smart people, the people who knew all, they had all those scrolls. They had all those prophecies. They had all those things that were happening. They knew all about it. And you know what? They missed Jesus. They missed Christ. And I always found that was interesting. Wouldn't you think that Jerusalem, you would, that if they said, hey, we've seen this star, we traveled these, they traveled all the way from somewhere far, far away, that they would have taken that short trip from Jerusalem to Bethlehem to see what they're talking about. Nope. They chose not to believe. And that's what we're going to look at tonight, is that I don't want to be like those self-righteous people. I don't want to have a head full of knowledge and a heart that misses Christ, a heart that does not see Christ in everything he's trying to do in my heart and everything he's trying to do in my life. I don't want to miss him. And that's what we're going to look at tonight in John chapter number 10. And you can go ahead and take your probably just one page, John chapter number 10. You see the story. And that there was a number of times that these chief priests, these Pharisees, these scribes, these religious leaders came to Jesus. You know, tell us who you are. We went in Mark, and when we were just reading and studying, and Mark talked about how they said, you know, tell us this, tell us that, and they want to know. They want to know. And I chose this passage. Number one was because of the fact that Brother Potter had just talked a little bit about Hanukkah to us in that one Sunday school class, but also it's there and they're worshiping and all the things that are going on around this. And they're there and they miss him. And I think it's a very interesting conversation he has with them. And it's something I think you can tie in with this thought. Don't miss Jesus. Don't miss Christ at Christmas. Sirs, that we would see Jesus. So let's look here and let's start off in verse number 19. It says, there was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And now, so here's the thing. There is a division that's happening here. There is a problem amongst the Jews. There's a problem that are amongst here for this feast of dedication. There is one group that's saying we should hear him. Another group says that he has a devil. Could you imagine looking at the creator of the world and saying, you have a devil? I mean, wow. But at the same time, there's a division. And you say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I think that we've bought into a lie that the Christ does not separate things. He does. Either you're a believer or you're a non-believer. That's the separation. Some people will like to say, well, what about this race and this race? There's one race. It's the human race in my mind. But at the same time, what truly divides all of us is where we stand with Jesus Christ, saved or unsaved. And there is a division. And Jesus even said, think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at a variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life shall for my sake shall find it. You know, so those are challenging passages of scriptures, because we like to think, hey, we should all just join hands together and sing kumbaya and just think that, hey, it's not a big deal. Doctrine's not important. It is important. And there is divisions that happen. And there is something that's going to happen. If you're going to worship Christ this Christmas, if you're going to put him first, there's going to be sometimes division. If you say, hey, I'm going to make sure I go to church on Christmas Eve, that's sometimes going to cause a division. It's going to cause problems. And once again, it's not the fact that we have to compromise. We should stand for right. We should do truth. I mean, it is truth and grace, truth and mercy. But we should always put him first. We want to see him this Christmas. We want to see him working. And who sees him? Those that are pure in heart, those who are clean. So here he's there, and there's a division that happens. And it was in verse number 22, it says, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him. Now, picture this here. They're there. There's a group of people. They hate him. They're trying to figure out ways to destroy him. They don't want anything to do with him. He's told them the truth. They've seen miracle after miracle. They've heard him teach. They've heard all these things, but they do not want to believe. And look what they circle around them, it sounds like. And they came, the Jews, round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? And he's like, how long are you going to keep us questioning? And he has never kept questioning. He's always been truthful. He says, if thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. He says, I want you to tell me. He said, why in the world have you not, how long are you going to keep on keeping us in suspense? Look what he responds in verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not. He says, I did tell you. You just chose not to believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. He says, not only did I tell you you didn't believe, the works I've done as believe, he says, but you believe not because you are not of my sheep. As I've said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. Pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So we see here the challenge there. He's there, this group here. Now, I want you to picture this group. This is a group of Jews. These are religious leaders. These are people who knew the prophecies. They've known the scribes. They've heard every miracle he's done. Why is that? Because they're going back and they're reporting him. They're not questioning and the idea, well, maybe we'll believe, maybe we won't. Because Jesus isn't saying, hey, I know you're still deciding. He says, no, you're not of my sheep. You choose not to believe. You've heard all these things. And this is the difference maker is, faith. They want a sign, even though they already had a sign. They had a virgin born, and I'm sure they heard the stories about John the Baptist and the miraculous birth that was there. I'm sure there wasn't the angels just floating around in the skies, and they wouldn't have heard that. And even probably about Mary, as they learned about Jesus and how Mary was saying that she was virgin born. All these different facts are not things that they would not have known. They just chose not to believe it. And I'm here to tell you today that many times, even Christians, they are filled with facts, but they do not want to see through eyes of faith. And because they don't want to see through eyes of faith, they miss Christ in Christmas. They miss seeing Jesus at Christmas. And so I think it's important. Now you think about it. Well, did Jesus really say that he was who he said he was? And yes, he did. Now, did he ever get up behind a pulpit and say, this is who I am? He did not come all the way out. He said many times, he gave glimmers of it. He never denied it. Think about it. What did he say to that woman at the well? She's there in the conversation back and forth. He says, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. She was saying, hey, we know someday the Messiah is coming. She's like, I'm the one, not I'm he. And what do you talk to that blind man in John chapter 9 and verse number 37? If you even want to look there, because it's just there on that page. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he's like, who is he? Verse number 6, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on? And what does he say? It's me. You see him now. He was blind. First person he ever saw was Jesus. I mean, that's awesome. But he's there and he's talking to him. So you're looking face to face to him. I am he. And you think about it. He was there and over, even the disciples. Remember when he says, when he went to the disciples and said to them, who do men say that I am? And they said, oh, you know, John the Baptist, Jeremiah, this and this and this. And Jesus looks at them and says, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answers and saith unto him, thou art he. He doesn't say no. He says, yeah, you're right, Peter. It wasn't you that done this, but the Father revealed us unto you over and over. I am the Messiah. I am the Messiah. I'm the Messiah. But there is a group there that's circling around him that's there, and they don't want to believe. They don't want to have faith. Now, have they seen the miracles? Maybe they haven't seen them, but they've heard of them. You think about it. Think about what they've seen. Think about what they've experienced. Think about what they heard. I mean, could you really feed 5,000 men and not these religious leaders hear about it? I mean, just that's the men. Forget about the children and the women, and probably 15,000 or the 4,000. Do you not think they would have heard about him walking on water? Do you not think they would have heard over and over all these things that he would have done and what he made the blind to see? Even inside that synagogue, the one time they tried to set him up with the man with the withered hand, and he sits there and he asks them, you know, should I heal? Should I not? So just teaching the people over and over the hypocrisy that's there. They don't want to believe. They don't want to believe. They don't want to believe. You say, what's the big deal? Is they had all the knowledge in the world. They had all the things written up about him, I'm sure. Even Nicodemus came and says, you know, we heard of thee. They knew all about him, but they didn't want to believe. They didn't want to see it. So he said, Pastor, those are unbelievers. They are unbelievers. But sometimes what scares me, because it happens in my own life, it can creep up, is that we have people who have great amount of knowledge. I mean, a lot of different knowledge that's there. And they have a head full of knowledge. But their heart is not pure in heart. They just don't see Jesus. They're not intrigued by the word of God. They don't spend time in prayer. They may come to church, but it's just going through a ritual. I mean, these guys, they came to church. These guys knew the Bible frontwards and backwards. These guys had it all figured out. They're at the Feast of Dedication. They're there serving, and they're there, and they're interested. There's a world that's full with knowledge, but who is empty? But it's empty when it comes to God. They have a head full of knowledge here, but a heart that's empty. They missed him. This group had more information about Jesus than they had ever needed to know. Remember, they had prophecies. They had testimony of his life. He says that he himself gave the testimony. The works he had done was there. They had all his teachings, but they didn't see who he was. Now, here's the challenge. I'd like for you to consider tonight, just a little bit, is, are we like that when it comes to Christmas? We got a head full of knowledge. We take part in this tradition and this tradition and this tradition and this tradition, but are we missing him in it? Are we not taking time to worship him? Now, who's the group that's here? He's not talking about the publicans. He's not talking about the harlots. He's talking about people who know the word of God. Over the next few days, we will participate in traditions. We'll hear stories, we'll sing songs, we'll look at things that remind us of Christ, we'll even read the Christmas story. But the question is, are we seeking to see him this year? That is why, so what should we remember about what should we be looking for, I guess is a better way to put it. What should we be looking for? Let's look for why he came. You say, well, how do you mean I'm missing it? Do we remember why he came? Look what it says in verses 17 and 18. He says, therefore, doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received from my Father. I think that's an amazing verse. It tells us that Jesus came, he went to the cross. He died on the cross. As he died on the cross, he had a choice. He commended up his spirit. He had the power to take his life, power to put it up, take it down, whatever. He had this. And see, you say, why? You say, Pastor, are we missing it? Sometimes we don't see why he came. Sometimes we get lost in all the lights and lost in all the gifts and lost in all these other things that we don't see a world that's dying and that's lost. We don't see the world that's full of ignorant people, not ignorant in the way that they act, ignorant in the fact they don't have a knowledge and they don't know who Jesus is and they don't believe who Jesus is. As I told you a few weeks ago, that 10-year-old boy didn't know who, had never heard the story of Christmas. At least that's what he said. And it amazed me. I was surprised. How can someone that comes to church or supposedly had gone to church a lot and never really heard the story. Maybe he wasn't listening, but somehow, some way, we cannot forget why he came. Because if we forget why he came, then we're going to forget why we celebrate Christmas. He came to save sinners. And I'm in for the celebrations. I'm in for anything that lifts Christ up. I'm in for everything that makes it a time of rejoicing, enjoying, and setting memories. I love memories. I love establishing memories with my family. But I'm not in for something that's going to take my mind off of Christ and take my mind away from really what should be the first and most important thing. He didn't come for our purposes. And that's what the problem is with these religious leaders. I think when John chapter 3, when Nicodemus came, he came, and I think he wanted Jesus to line up with the Pharisees. Boy, Jesus and the Pharisees, they were thinking, if he can do these miracles, we're the smart ones. We can sit there and we can make this guy the next Messiah. He didn't need the Pharisees though. They rejected him. They didn't like him because of the fact that he was not a company man. He did not say those things that only pleased them. He did what he knew was right. He was God. He wasn't going to change for anyone. And sometimes I think what makes people angry, what makes people upset, is the fact that Jesus is not here just for our purpose. He's not here for us to fulfill our desires and what we want. And we feel like everything's got to be our way. But instead, there was a reason why he came, and he didn't just come to make you happy. That was not his purpose. He did not come just to serve you. Now, did he serve? He did. And then we follow after him. Does he make us happy? It sure does. But he didn't come to say, okay, what's your wish today? I want to grant you your wish. But that's sometimes how we treat Jesus. And we miss him that way. We got to go and realize that he is God. And as God, I must put myself on the throne. Think about it. He's there and he's talking about, he's at the Feast of Dedication, verse 22, and all the things that the Hanukkah represents, they were celebrating. But the one that was standing right in front of them was the one to celebrate. They were celebrating. And think about all those different other feasts that they do, the Passover. But right before them was the Passover lamb. Over and over in the scriptures, it's there. They celebrate and they do all these different feasts and they do all these different things and all these different rituals. But he's right there. The same thing, what Hanukkah is talking about, the festival of lights. But the light of the world is standing right in front of them and they missed him. Why? It's because they didn't have the faith. They didn't believe everything. They thought that, hey, my life is good. I don't need to change anything. I mean, this guy did miracles. He was God. He did miracles right in front of their faces. Remember when they called Lazarus? He said, Lazarus, come forth. That dead man came out. And this is where you see in chapter 11 that you see things really start heating up and ramping up. You know what it says? That some believed. You know what some other ones did? They ran back to this group. They ran back. They chose not to believe. They chose to be ignorant. They chose to be indifferent. And I tell you that he's there and he's speaking plainly. And they chose not to be. That's what it says in verse 25. They're there and they said, how long does thou make us to doubt? They're questioning and they're making it about him. It's your fault. You're not telling us the truth here. If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. He says, I told you and believe not. Right there, he tells them, look, I already told you and you didn't believe me. And he says, and then he says, the works I do in my Father's name, they bear witness. It's this group of people did not want the truth. And you know what? We deal with people like that sometimes. We don't like to really look at our own lives and consider what's the truth. I know people tell me all the time, you know, especially in churches like ours. I got people, hey, pastor, tell the truth. You know, pastor, you know, let it rip. You know, do this, say this, you know. And it's sometimes, you know, because that's what, you know, and certain vernaculars, that's what they say to the preacher, you know, try to, hey, don't take as easy, step on her toes and things like that. And I appreciate all those things because those are things to encourage us to preach the truth and continue to preach the truth. But sometimes I really feel like when people say, hey, I want you to preach the truth, give me the truth, give me the truth. But then it's like they cover up their ears when the preaching's happening. It's like, give me the truth. They don't want to hear it. They don't want it. They say they want it, but when the truth comes, people get offended. People get upset. People don't want to hear. They'd rather sit there and talk amongst themselves or pay attention. They'd rather do something else. And the truth is that he's there. He says, I told you plainly. What are they missing? Is they choose not to have faith to believe. They choose not to have faith to believe. There are certain portions of message and certain things that they just want to be left alone about. And they wonder why things get worse and worse. They wonder why their hearts aren't changing. They wonder why God's not using them and to raise up the next generation. They wonder why people can't get along. They're wondering why there's problems inside the church. They're wondering why people aren't getting saved. And they're wondering why. But they're like, give us the truth. Give us the truth. And who's the people that see God? Those that are pure in heart. They said, yes, I want you to give the truth, but they would not sit down and listen to someone tell the truth. I mean, oftentimes, when there's hard conversations that happen, as a pastor, many times there's hard conversations that happen. People have told me, you just don't help me. But I'm giving them the word of God. It's just they don't want to hear it. This is truth. This is what happened. This is what it looks like. This is why this is a problem. You're just not helping me. And your preaching's not helping. Okay. And it's he's there and he's saying, because if it's the word of God, it's the word of God. It's supposed to help. And he's saying, I told you and you believe not. And the problem is they are missing Christ all the time. But I think it's dangerous for us. Sometimes we get so busy in the festivals and so busy in the activities and so busy with the schedules. We need to come to him during Christmas. Lord, I want to see you. Just like those Greeks, sirs, that I might see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. We're going to have to, because there was I can only imagine in chapter number 12 that sees popularity is growing, that the Pharisees are there and they're thinking the whole world's gone after him, that the crowd that's around Jesus is crazy. And the Greeks probably try to go see him on their own, but they realize we're not getting to him on our own because they're Greeks. And this festival, you know, and so they go to Philip, and one of the disciples says, we want to see him. We want to see him. Do what I have to do to get to see him. And that's what I'm saying. Our focus needs to be is, yes, I have to do all these things, and I want to do all these things, and I want to be a blessing. I want people to enjoy it. I want it to be special for my children and my grandchildren. What type of Scrooge wouldn't want that? I mean, I'm not some type of Scrooge. I'm just saying here, you need to get on your knees and say, I want to see Christ this Christmas. This is who it's about. I don't want to be the ignorant one. Well, I'm not, because I know. I don't want to be the indifferent one. Yeah, it's his birth, but I got all these things I got to do and all these things I got to take care of. I can't make room for him. I don't have time for him. I got, like the innkeeper says, I don't have any room for him. Make room in your heart. I don't want to be like the Herod that's the wicked that says, yeah, I'll go worship here with him later, but never has a plan to worship at all. Yes, I will worship him, but he was lying and he didn't have any interest. He wanted to be king and he wanted to stay king. But the self-righteous group, they missed him that day. They could have jumped on their camels or their horses or whatever they would have rode on and went down to Bethlehem and saw the young child. Could have. They didn't. And here it is. How many years later? 32 years later, probably. 30 years later. You can argue about that later if you want, however old you think he was. He's there, and they have missed him for the last few years. The same people. Now it's not just some wise men that terrified the city as they came in. They had heard it. It's not just the king saying that there's this group that has traveled super far and they want to know where the Messiah was going to be born. Now it's a step farther. They have come face to face with Jesus. They have realized that this man is saying he is the Messiah. This man is one who has fed thousands with just a few loaves and some fishes. And this man is the one who's walked on water. And this man who's done miracles right before eyes, and this man who's raised the dead, and they've seen at this point in time miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, and saying after saying after saying. They had their spies out there. They saw all these things. They had all this information, and they have missed him all this time, and now they're saying, it's your fault. Why is it that it seems like it's getting worse and worse? And here's, I think, is a key, is when you reject God's truth, you have to believe a devil's lie. Think about what I'm saying here. When you reject the truth, you have to begin to believe the devil's lies. When you begin to say, I don't have to do this, even though the Bible says I do, you're buying into a lie. You continue to buy into a lie. And you continue to buy into a lie. You keep on saying, no, no, no. I have to believe this. It's okay now. The devil's telling me it's okay. The Bible says I need to forgive. The Bible says I need to be faithful. The Bible says I need to pray. The Bible says I want to see Jesus. And we just keep on saying no. But every time we say no to him, we're saying yes to him. And we're believing a lie. And we're believing a lie. We're believing a lie to the point that they came. And they came to a spot that Lazarus was raised from the dead. And people's hearts were so hard. They ran back to this group and says, he did something else that was a trick. They were there and the Messiah was there on the cross. I mean, they had a mock trial. They sat there and they said, if he would come off the cross, then we would believe. They wouldn't have believed. There was a man that raised from the dead 3 days later. What did he do? They paid off the Roman soldiers. Instead of believing, their hearts became hard because they got to the spot. They kept on believing a devil's lie, believing a devil's lie, believing a devil's lie, and they missed him completely. And they died and went off to eternity in hell. So how do you compare that to Christmas? How often do we just believe a lie and say it's not it's not really that important. It's okay for us to not. No, like I said, me, I enjoy it. I have things planned pretty much every day this week. I have some family that's coming in. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Even though it's my in-laws, it's still wonderful. It's great. And it's all these different things that happen. But the reason why the world's gotten so bad, the world has more knowledge today than it ever has, in my mind. And the reason why you say, well, how come people are so ignorant today? How come there's so many people? It's because they believe the lie. And they've continued to believe the lie. They keep on swallowing these lies and swallowing these lies. And that's why we got men who think they're women and women who think they're men. They have some reasoning in their mind that they think a four-year-old can decide whether or not he's a boy or a girl, where he can't even decide, how to tie a shoe. I mean, it's because they've swallowed it over and over and over. Because if they believe the truth, that means they're thinking they had to change in their lives. But if they continue to believe a lie, then they have to accept that. I was born that way. Then they're going to say, well, the pedophile was born that way, and the person who's the bestiality is going to keep on going farther and farther and farther down because they keep on believing lies, and they keep on I have to accept this group. It's all lies. That's why you got to go back to the truth and say, what is truth? This is what I want. And yes, I understand those are things that many of us don't even know. And I say it's becoming more and more regular that we know there's people that struggle with those things. But, 20 years ago, we didn't know those things. Why is that? Because it's getting worse and worse. Why is that? Because they keep on believing more and more lies. Because more and more believers are saying, I don't want to live a separated life. I want to live what I want. And when I live the way I want, means I have to say, I don't want that. I have to believe something he's telling me. So now I feel like I got to become a little bit more forgiving, a little bit more accepting. So tonight, that we would see Jesus. Sirs, that we would see Jesus this Christmas. That I want to see Christ this Christmas. They missed, he was standing right in front of them. I tell you, we got a Bible right in front of us. We miss him sometimes. It's because we're ignorant of it. Sometimes we're indifferent towards it. He walks on water. He feeds thousands of people. He does things right in front of them. And he even tells them what they're thinking. Remember, I think it's back in Mark chapter number 2. It talks about how he tells them what they're thinking. He goes and he tells the man when they drop the man down and he's there and he tells them he forgives his sins. And in their mind, they think it's blasphemy. They only say it out loud. And he looks at them and says, this is what you were thinking. He told them all those things, and they chose not to believe. So what does that have to do with me? We have so much that we've been given. Salvation, the Holy Spirit, access to God through prayer, his word that's there, and there's something that's disconnecting. It's the same thing that's connected to them. We don't have the faith to take the next step. We don't believe like we should. We have a limited amount. Of course, I'm going to celebrate Christ at Christmas. But do we really want to see him? Because if we really want to see him, that changes things. That means he becomes the preeminence. I doubt Joseph and Mary's Christmas was all that, special in the idea that how the circumstances they had. They wouldn't have chose to be born born in a stable, I'm sure. They went to the inn first. Of course, it was special because the angels, the shepherds, and all those things. I get it. Think about what Simeon, his life, and Anna's life went through. They didn't miss him, but their life wasn't perfect. It wasn't the Hallmark movie thing. Should we go around looking for tragedy? No, but we should go looking for Jesus. Yes. We should be seeking him. And how do we seek him? We start off by saying, yes, God. Whatever it is that you want. Not say, I want the truth. I don't want you to change the truth. People would get angry if I got up here and told an untruth. But I wonder how angry God gets sometimes when we're not willing to listen to the truth or deal with the truth. So tonight, let's ask God that he would help us to see Christ this Christmas. That these next 5 days, 6 days, however long you plan on celebrating, not only that we would see Christ working our lives, but we would ask that people would see Jesus in us. They could see Christ in us. Because if you go down and he talks about in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and know them and they follow me. They're saying, if you're truly a believer, you're going to follow after him. And he says, and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, are greater than all, and no man is able. It's the idea that it's he's the believer there. He's a father. He's a child of God. And there should be a difference in their life. And look what it says in verse number 30. I and my Father are one. If they want it, hey, dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. He says, I and the Father are one. He says it right there that I am God. That's what he's saying to them. Did they believe? No. Chapter number 12, what are they doing? He said, the whole world's going after him. We got to figure out a way to get rid of this guy. They chose not to believe. It's a faith issue. So tonight, let's ask God to help us see Christ this Christmas. Sirs, that I would see Jesus. And once again, the festivals were going on, the feasts were going on, the Passover, all those different things happening. All the celebrations are happening. Everything is great. And like I said, we all have things to do. I have lots of things to do between now and I guess probably next Wednesday or Thursday. I got a pretty busy schedule. And then it starts back up the following weekend, which is great. So all those different things. But I don't want to let this season pass by without seeing him. And I don't want to let this season pass by without people seeing him in me. We got a lot of unsaved relatives out there that we only get to see a little bit of time, get to influence a little bit of time. If we would learn to get rid of our attitudes and our ugliness, and we've learned to focus on Christ and let Christ reflect in us, boy, maybe our families would be changed a little bit. Maybe it would help. So let's ask Christ. Let's ask God to help us see Christ this Christmas. Sirs, that I would see Jesus or Christ this Christmas. Let's pray.